Today is Saturday, February 14th, and you're listening to the Toronto Vegetarian Podcast, brought to you by the TVA Resource Center crew. This is Betsy, and I'm here with Angeline.
Hello.
And Sue.
Hi.
Today, we have a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about. The first thing we wanted to talk about was that the company Renew Life sent us a really nice care package because they've been liking our podcast.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, and they sent us this really sweet letter thanking us for everything we've been doing. And it's got soap and bath salts and
a nutrition shake, chocolate flavored shake and go, their Digest More Ultra Strength Digestive Enzyme, and a 30-day cleanse.
Nice, and it looks like everything is veggie friendly. They wouldn't send us stuff if it wasn't veggie friendly, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
And Angeline looked at the ingredients and it looks like it's all veg friendly. So that's really good.
As far as I can tell.
And this whole place now smells of lovely, like lavender oils, and stuff. Lavender. It smells so nice in here.
Cinnamon and frankincense and orange, I don't know.
Lemongrass.
Lemongrass, that's the smell.
It's really nice.
It's really, really nice. I didn't know they made soaps. I knew they made these supplements, but I didn't know. I love their Acidophilus, but I didn't know that they made the soaps and stuff.
I think Lala Soap is a separate company.
Ah, so they just put it in their... That's so nice of them.
Yeah, it's really nice. And then the next thing we're going to talk about is that today is Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Renew Life. I'm sorry, we didn't say
thank you. Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Your letter was so sweet. They talked about improving the overall health of Canadians, which is their mandate, too, and something we have in common. So thank you very much. Sorry.
Next. That's okay. So I was saying today is Valentine's Day, and there is a little promo for people who come in and buy a cookbook. There is a Earth Balance mac and cheese that you can get with the purchase of a cookbook, and there's only one box left, so if you come in today before 4 o'clock, you can be the lucky recipient of the white cheddar flavor one.
Mm-hmm.
So far we've sold one already, and they got
the cheddar. Orange flavor. This is the white cheddar, so
yeah.
And it was to Jenny and Peter McQueen, longtime TVA volunteers, board members,
yes,
extraordinaire, and they had such a busy day today. They were at the National Anti-Fur Protest. Apparently, it's an annual thing, and Jenny came up with this really cool idea to put a box. She painted a sign on the box saying, "Donate your fur trim here for." Help animal, orphaned animals, I think.
What
yeah.
Like?
Just, it's a good way to kind of start conversation, I thought, too.
Right? Yeah. So and I find a lot of coats, especially living in Canada, it's really hard sometimes to find a coat that doesn't have some kind of animal fur or leather or something. It's really difficult. So I think it's a really good idea. Don't you?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea for people. I don't find it hard to find coats, but I think I'm also a more patient shopper than a lot of people. Like, I kind of have radar at this point. I'm like, I don't trust that store, or I don't trust that line. And, like, I kind of beeline to the things that look like they're made of umbrella fabric and polyester. Do you know what I mean? Because they're lightweight. Because it's great when you're in Toronto and you're trying to... You're going inside and outdoors and inside and outdoors, and you just need something that you don't mind having on your arm. And I find that a lot of those, like, Canada Goose or whatever, like,
yeah,
I'm not attracted to them at all.
I was on the subway, and I saw a woman wearing a coat, and it said Triple Goose on it. And I was like, okay. So I was thinking about it. I was like, this woman sees that as warmth. She sees, oh, goose is really warm. I look at it and I think all the poor geese that were used to make her jacket. It's just a different mindset, but it's true. It's definitely a possibility, but it is a challenge because a lot of people, like this woman, they don't think of it like the animal. They think of it like the warmth it provides. You know?
I think fur, too, is kind of a different category in some ways, because fur is also worn as a status symbol and for its looks.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, psychologically, there's a different thing around fur. I remember when we were talking also about when we first became vegetarian, or that's part of what we're going to talk about. And I remember at one point in my early teens just falling in love with a couple of friends I knew had these vintage old fur coats, like from the 1920s or something.
Yeah.
So beautiful. And my father, who, not that my father has ever been remotely vegetarian or anything, he in fact says, "Where did you get these weird ideas?" And I said, "Well, partly from you, because you've always talked about kindness."
Aww.
And I remember him saying to me, "Well, yeah, okay, so if you bought one of those, it's not like you're buying it new. But then you're going to walk around with that, and other people are going to see it, and they're going to think, oh, that looks really nice." So
you're kind of propagating
the
trend.
So I didn't get.
Or if it's handed down to you from, like, your mother or your grandmother, it's like you can't throw it away. So it'll just sit in your closet, right? Because I would never wear a fur coat, but it does just sit there.
Unless you donate it to an animal refuge or whatever, like Jenny's planning on doing.
Yeah. It's a difficult thing when you don't have the resources necessarily to throw away a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And you need...
And wear.
And it, but it does well. Have animal... Like, it's a personal choice that everybody has to make, right?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Definitely. I couldn't get over, I saw an ad for humane fur, and I guess the premise is it's like the equivalent of free-range meat, and I just, that they died anyway. Like, how is it, like, I don't know, I just, but like you said, it's a choice that
is it propaganda make. To try and make it more appealing, maybe, to say,
oh, it's
like,
definitely, they're a marketing thing, right? Like, they just want to, you know, it was in the news, I can't even remember which paper, but it was a woman, I think it was a woman, a Canadian designer, I think she was a student, who has come out with this, you know, humanely sourced fur products, and I just thought, well, it's still barbaric in my mind to, like, wear somebody else's skin, but maybe for people, some people, they don't see it like that, but... there's people out there educating them, like the National Anti-Fur Protesters.
Well, it's no surprise.
That are much more eloquent about it than I am.
That the protest was held in front of Holt Renfrew. And a lot of people who shop at places like Holt Renfrew don't really think about the fur. They're just like, oh, it's fashion.
They're just looking at how it looks. They've seen somebody with a fur coat.
Yeah.
I don't think it's pretty, like, when I see it. But I guess some people... see it as a glamour symbol or something. Like, I might, if I like everything else about a coat and it has a fake fur trim, maybe I'll get it because, you know, I'm not against
about
look that
fake
much.
Fake fur trim that apparently some, quote, fake fur, did you ever hear that, is apparently made from dogs and cats.
That's horrible.
I have heard that you
I've
really
heard
need
that,
to be, but I mean,
but
some of it doesn't
true?
Seem like it could be because it seems too...
Like, you can tell it. Like, I'm talking about, like, I have a scarf that, when you turn it inside out, it's clearly fabric, right?
Yeah.
It's that kind of wool that looks like fur. Not wool, but, like, acrylic that looks like fur. Like, because I saw this video, a PETA video of a raccoon dog being skinned alive, and it's always stayed with me, and I just think you don't really know where it's come from.
Yeah.
Like, acrylic, I'm pretty sure nobody died for acrylic, and I might be proven wrong, but,
well, I mean,
but it feels so much more safe to me to wear fur that is clearly, it doesn't really look like fur. When I say it kind of looks like fur, it doesn't really look like fur, but it gives you the warmth that fur does, because it traps the air like fur would, just like polyester, like a lot of mountain climbing gear is filled with polyester, because it holds air like down would. But it's actually better than down, because when it's wet, it still retains its warmth, right?
Good. So the other thing, you know, when you get into the layers and layers of everything, is that I've heard some people argue, and I think it does have sense too, is that when you buy something, the more processed or synthetic it might be, you don't really know the fumes that the making of it sent off might have killed equal
There's numbers. So, many so many variables. It's hard.
Yeah, everybody does the best they can, right?
Yeah. For sure. So the next thing we're going to talk about is that this past week, we were all informed that this podcast was nominated for Toronto's favorite podcast.
Thank you, whoever did that. That's very cool. So if you agree, please vote.
Yeah, and it was kind of fun because I go home and I just think nobody's listening because the only person who maybe listens to it are like maybe my parents. And I asked them to listen to
that
it.
That you know. Yeah.
So I feel like it's just kind of this fun thing that I do, but it must be reaching people, which is kind of fun. And also a lot of people I tell them about, they're like, what? You do a podcast? Like, I feel like no one listens to it, but people do. So I was like, taken back.
People who like podcasts and vegetarian news?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. We were talking about how when you go to restaurants and you ask for vegan options, sometimes people in food don't know what that means and they give you gluten-free. And how frustrated we are that people don't know the difference between vegan and gluten-free.
A lot of vegans might be also gluten-free and vice versa. Like some people are both. But I think Sue put it well, saying that it's kind of like the service industry food industry has lumped in difficult categories. These are the extremists, you know, and if what's good for one is good for the other. And that's not always the case. Like I went to a restaurant recently and asked if they had anything that was vegetarian with no dairy and eggs. And they said, well, we have rice pasta. And I said, that's great. But, I don't know. Does it have egg in it? We kind of had this conversation and eventually, you know, defined that, you know, gluten-free is great, but what I'm looking for is no animal. And they did actually accommodate me, so that was great. But you've had that experience too, Sue, right?
Oh, all the time about the gluten-free, the mix-up between gluten-free and vegan and being told, well, we have, that's gluten-free. I think most servers are great and a lot of people go so out of their way to make sure.
Yes.
But I guess I just always do find it frustrating because really logically there is nothing the same about the two except that they might both be seen as people who are being difficult in their choices or something. There's no
connection. Are they being lumped together?
Yeah.
I definitely find when I go to restaurants, vegan or not, there's this like, oh, here's the gluten-free section, and it's this like little tiny like corner of the place, and then the rest is just normal. So there's this kind of idea of it being
a separate thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely happened. And then when I've been at vegan restaurants,
which is great for celiac-free people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. And then when I've been at vegan restaurants, they're like, so this is our vegan menu. Plus, we have gluten-free. So I find when you go to vegan restaurants, they kind of get it, that it's like a different thing because they're aware. Mm-hmm. But when you go to somewhere else, they'll just say, oh, gluten-free is... They'll have like vegetarian or gluten-free.
And one exception that you mentioned earlier was that the place that your friend likes to go to, Famoso Neapolitan, is that what it is?
Yeah.
356 Bloor Street West in the Annex, and they also have one in the Yorkdale Mall, right? We looked it up.
Yeah.
And you said that they have vegan and they have gluten-free?
Yeah, so Famoso is a mostly pizza place, and they have other stuff too, but it's mostly pizza. And it's a restaurant that is not vegan or vegetarian friendly, but they have the option of gluten-free dough and of getting Daiya cheese instead of mozzarella. So it's a really good place to go when you're with people who are not vegan or vegetarian because it can be a challenge to find places to eat when you're with people who don't necessarily want to be going to like a vegetarian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, who I go to this place with a lot, she loves this place because you can essentially write down everything you want on your pizza and they'll make it for you. You don't have to get what the menu says. You can make it however you want. So for a brief period of time, I was vegan and gluten-free for a very short amount of time because I couldn't do it. And I didn't find the gluten-free was making a difference for me. I got a vegan and gluten-free pizza there. And it wasn't the greatest pizza I've ever had, but the fact that the option was there was what was so important. And I think more restaurants are starting to become more vegan option friendly, but it's still not everywhere.
Including Pizza Nova, right?
Yes.
So Sue went to the Valentine's party for the Toronto Vegetarian Association volunteers.
Yes, and there were several. It was a good turnout. There must have been, I don't know, 50 people maybe, and what appeared to be at least 10 or 12 large pizzas, if not more. There was a lot of pizza. And they were all donated by Pizza Nova.
Isn't that great?
All with diet cheese.
And the mozzarella.
There were different types of
pizza. Was it good?
It was very good, yeah.
It's funny, like all the kind of parties and stuff I've been to that TVA has held, there's always an abundance of food donated. And Pizza Nova, they donated pizza at the Vegetarian Food Festival for the staff.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Pizza Nova.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks. And, you know, I always make my own pizza at home because I never think like, oh, yeah, of course I'll have vegan option. I never think that. So I always just make it at home. So it's good to know.
Yes.
That you can.
Because that's a chain, right? You could.
I know.
Your friend could get like a pepperoni meat lovers and you can get a vegan slice. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Peter and Jenny were saying that it's not just Toronto locations, but all their locations. So that's great.
Yeah.
And at the party last night, they had also cupcakes too, right?
Yeah, sweets from the earth. From the earth, yeah.
Doesn't get better than that, does it?
Yeah. They were quite pretty.
Valentine
cupcakes. Yeah.
What flavors?
The one I had was a kind of strawberry shortcake sort of
thing. Wow, so they have
candies on top.
Nice.
Yeah.
I always like see those really fancy cupcakes and I was like, I wish I could make those myself, but they never come out as pretty.
It's a wonderful art.
Yeah.
A cupcake.
Especially when it's vegan because you have to know how to change the substitutions and stuff, right?
Do we have vegan cupcakes take over the earth? Am I remembering that title?
Do we still have it on our shelves? If we don't, we have it in our library if we don't have it for sale.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's we were...
There's a lot of cupcake recipes actually in our resource center in different books, but that one is exclusively for that. And I think there's even like a whole series of gluten-free books that we had at the Food Fest. I think we still have some... That one of them was like, I think one was cookies and one was cupcakes. I can't remember the name of the title, but yeah, that's here too. I wish I could remember.
We have an all pizza cookbook.
This is why we write things down.
Yeah.
Spontaneity doesn't work out so well. Yeah. Sorry, people, but if you want more information, email us at tva@veg.ca and we can look up the name of the author for you.
Sure. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the idea of doing a kind of column or blog about this idea of going to restaurants that aren't necessarily vegan or vegetarian friendly and figuring out what a vegan could eat there. I think it would be really fun because most of the people that I know personally are not vegan or vegetarian. And so my social life, it's always a little awkward for me to be like, can we not go to that restaurant or can we change our plans for me? Like it feels a little...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awkward sometimes, and I think it would be really informative and cool kind of blog to say, today I tried, I don't know, whatever place, and I was able to get this delicious meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
I
think it would be really cool. I don't know. I'll have to ask Barbie about it, but I think it would be kind of fun thing to try a couple places, especially... being in Toronto, where we have so many restaurants to go to.
Well, and our veg directory has, like, places listed that are veg-friendly and not necessarily entirely veg. But
when you find something good, like the Italian one near me, where I found a really good minestrone soup and a salad for lunch. And it's not,
we're talking
a very Italian restaurant, not remotely. It's called Marcello's. It's a real family.
It's such a pet peeve of mine when you go out and there's not a single vegan thing. Mm-hmm. And the closest you can get is like a cheese lasagna. And it's like, well, I'm not going to eat that because it's like full of dairy. But so on the other side, you might find something great. But on the other side, you might say this might be not the best place to support, depending on how you feel about that.
Yeah, I guess my thought is, too, we're in Toronto where there's so many different, like this one being Italian, in a traditionally Italian neighborhood, I accept the fact that that neighborhood is not going to be
high. It's a bit of a black hole for
you.
On
the veg-friendly thing, and yet I value that neighborhood.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think it's kind of neat to celebrate what I can find, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's something I'm kind of interested in doing, but I'll have to see what that manifests into. So, speaking of things that inspire us, we were talking about the books or the things that originally turned us on to the veg lifestyle.
Right, because you noticed in the library that The Kind Diet by Alicia Silverstone is in our collection, and
that was my first book. That was the one I first read. And I liked it because in her book, she does it, she has like categories. So the first one is called like flirt. So that's when you're kind of like trying things out. And then there's vegan. And then there's something called superhero, which essentially I think is like probiotic.
Oh.
And so she shows you ways to go from flirt to like to the levels, or she says, or you can stay in one, and then she gives you like week meal ideas and all this stuff, and she talks about her story of how she like became vegan and how she was an animal lover her whole life and how her husband does it with her and all that kind of stuff. And I think she actually came out recently with one called The Kind Mama, which is about her journey of vegan pregnancy and all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
So that was kind of the first book, and then I kind of have been obsessed with vegan cookbooks ever since. How about you, Sue?
Well, in terms of cookbooks or in terms of...
Like, what book kind of made you switch your diet?
Inspired you.
Right. It goes back so far that it was Frances Moore LePage's Diet for a Small Planet, which originally came out, and it was the first one. There have been a couple of new editions. I think you're talking 1970 or something. And I had always felt uncomfortable about eating meat and wanted not to, but there wasn't really any context for it much then. Although some people do it without context, but I've heard of
being vegan in the 70s is practically non-existent, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm just talking vegetarian at this point. And also there was this real concern, and it's been talked about many times since, about the protein issues.
Right.
So that was, but her book, although I never wanted to eat animals and felt that I'd rather not, what she talked about was the fact that a non-meat diet would use approximately one-fifth as many of the world's resources as a meat-based diet. So that was actually just as much of the reason for me then when I read that book.
Wow.
And she was very inspiring because she basically set out to figure out these things and went to the World Health Organization and all these places thinking she'd learn and found that they didn't know as much as she had already researched in
about
some cases,
nutrition and about the environmental
putting
impact.
It all together. About putting it together, yeah. So,
wow.
So that's what.
That's why she's a classic.
Yeah, it's a real classic. Good title too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It really made a difference, I think, to a lot of people in that book.
We can list these books in the show notes after if you guys are interested.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because. These were books that really inspired us, so maybe they'll inspire you guys too. Plus, we have so many books here in the library.
The Cupcake one too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have? You didn't really have a book, right?
No, I didn't have a book. I loved animals and didn't like eating them. And my parents would say you have to survive, but then eventually I put two and two together because that you could survive without it because my parents' church, they abstain from meat, dairy, and eggs, like, for a month or so before Christmas and before
like
Easter.
Lent?
Yeah, Lent. Yeah. But they have a different word for it. But I thought if you can survive for that long, you could probably survive all the time without it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my inspiration. Just and the more I learned about the environment and health and stuff, the more sure I was that that's the way to be. So
I thought it was so interesting how you didn't know that there was a word for it. Until someone told you, oh, that's vegan. And you're like, that's what that's called?
That's cool.
I got a label.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's so funny. There's so many labels for everything these days.
But it wasn't so much the label. It was the idea that other people were like me. Like, I didn't realize other people are like, there's a word that means there's other people like me.
Yeah.
In the world. So. And
you can connect. Yeah.
And in the past, 25 years, it's like so much easier,
Since the 70s to now, I imagine, I was not alive in the 70s, that it's just, there's no comparison.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I knew one woman in Newfoundland who, I think she's been vegan for probably 35 years or something, and I think that's an incredible thing because Newfoundland, A, is not the easiest place to get a lot of food, and B, it's just not that kind of culture, but she's been doing it, back when, and put out her own cookbook and everything.
Good for her.
Her name escapes me. No, Mary Frances White. Just amazing because it's a lot easier to feel there are others with you and to be kind of more isolated. It's hard.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We had to take a little bit of a break for a minute because people came in and someone came in named Alex Greenwood who does some outreach, and she's here, so introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Alex Greenwood, and I volunteer with Vegan Outreach. And what Vegan Outreach does is we give out leaflets on the street, mostly to college students. And this is a really good demographic to target because college students are often on their own for the first time, and they're making their own choices, and they've got their whole lifetimes in front of them, so if we can get them to change to make choices which are friendly to animals, then there's lots of time for them to do that for the rest of their lives. And this is a really good opportunity to go to colleges and get hold of people that way. So Vegan Outreach is going to be in Toronto in late March, so from about the last 2 weeks of March, pretty much daily, we're going to be out there leafleting into colleges. So if anybody wants to come and join us, you can get in touch with us. You can look at veganoutreach.org and contact me through there. They'll forward you to me.
That's great. We'll link to that in the show notes as well.
Yes. And I think it's an interesting way to do things because when you have an actual leaflet, you're more likely to actually look at it.
And you were saying people respond better to having a person in front of them they can identify with.
Yeah, sometimes people will come back to talk to us, but a lot of it is just getting more leaflets out there. So the more leaflets you hand out, the more people are going to actually read them, and the more people who read them, the more people are going to make changes.
Yeah, great.
That's great. Thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the very last thing we wanted to talk about to end up this vlog was, last vlog we talked a little bit about cute YouTube videos. And so this one is also a YouTube video, but it's
heartwarming.
It's heartwarming. It'll make you cry if you're soft enough. It's this little 3-year-old boy, and his mother is feeding him octopus.
Or wants to feed him octopus.
And he says stuff like, "But this is an animal."
But why?
Why?
Don't spoil it. It's a really heartwarming conversation between a 3-year-old and his mom. We'll put a link to it in the show notes where he's basically, just it's a respectful conversation. The mom keeps calling him love. She's not judging him for his thought process. She just lets him ride it out. And
it's like a 3-year-old gets it.
I spoiled it? Oh, no. Damn.
A 3-year-old gets it that, animals are living. Like, a three-year-old gets it, and it's just kind of one of those things.
It's just so sweet, the process of the conversation, how it unfolds, So we'll put a link to that in the show notes and to the vegan outreach and everything else we talked about. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.